Today is Friday, July 31st, 2026. And, you know, for most of you listening right now, if you step outside, it is just sweltering.
Oh, yeah, middle of the summer heat.
Right. You're probably thinking about, I don't know, weekend barbecues,
yeah.
Maybe a trip to the beach. Christmas is just this very distant, abstract thought.
Yeah, completely off the radar.
Exactly. It's just this faint jingle of bells somewhere way out on the horizon. But if you are an Amazon e-commerce seller, your house is practically on fire right now.
Oh, the smoke is already filling the living room. I mean, Christmas e-commerce is not a fourth quarter project. It's really a third quarter operation that just happens to report its revenue in the fourth quarter.
Which is wild. So welcome to this deep dive into the 2026 Christmas e-commerce playbook for Amazon sellers. Our mission today is to take a peek behind the curtain of that, you know, that incredibly convenient buy now button.
Yeah, the button everyone clicks without thinking twice.
Exactly. We're going to unpack the ruthless logistics, the hidden financial traps, and these cutting-edge AI shifts happening right now, because all of that determines whether those holiday gifts actually make it under the tree this year.
And it is a massive machine.
It really is. And even if you aren't an Amazon seller, understanding this high-stakes global choreography, it's going to completely change how you view your holiday shopping. It reveals this huge, invisible machine operating right beneath your fingertips.
So, okay, let's unpack this because I am staring at these dates in our sources and I'm just in a state of enthusiastic disbelief here. The biggest retail season of the year, the Christmas rush, is essentially won or lost in August.
Yeah. I know it sounds crazy, but you have to look at the physical realities of global trade. The strongest sellers are, well, they're locking in their plans today.
Today, in July.
Right. Because the timeline requires you to work backward from December. You're basically navigating a series of immovable obstacles.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you source inventory from China, for example, the first major roadblock is China's Golden Week. Okay, remind me when that is.
Yeah, so factories completely shut down for a national holiday from October 1st to the 7th. And often those production pauses, they extend on either side of those dates because workers are traveling.
Oh, wow. So if I'm a seller, I can't just place an order in September and expect it to ship in October?
Not a chance. The playbook says manufacturer orders must be placed between August 10th and the 15th.
Man, that is coming up fast.
Because once production is done, ocean freight is no joke. The transit from a Chinese port to a U.S. port takes, you know, 45 to 60 days on average.
Okay, so that gets you to, like, November.
Right, but that only gets the goods to a domestic port. From there, you have domestic freight, and then this is the kicker. You hit the most notorious bottleneck in the entire cycle.
Amazon FBA check-in.
Exactly. FBA, fulfillment by Amazon. It's that system where sellers send their bulk inventory into Amazon's massive warehouses, and Amazon handles the picking, packing, shipping to the customer.
Right. The magical prime delivery.
Yeah. But during September, receiving and checking in a truckload of inventory might take a day or two. During peak season, it stretches to 7 to 14 days.
Wait, 2 weeks? Just to check it in?
Up to 2 weeks, yeah. Your products are physically sitting in a trailer in a warehouse parking lot, entirely unsellable, while the clock is literally ticking down.
That is stressful. Which, I guess, brings us to the actual deadlines Amazon sets. They have confirmed their Black Friday and Cyber Monday, the BFCM cutoffs for 2026.
Yeah, the hard dates.
Right. So if you want minimal shipment splits, your inventory has to be in their system by October 21st. But there's this alternative date, October 28th, if you use what Amazon calls optimized splits.
Which is a very deliberate trade-off.
Yeah. I'm looking at this and thinking, a whole extra week during the busiest logistics month of the year is massive.
Mm-hmm.
What is the actual mechanism there? Like, why does Amazon give you more time just for choosing that option?
It basically comes down to who handles the internal distribution. With standard minimal splits, a seller might ship their entire inventory to just, say, two or three Amazon warehouses. Then Amazon has to spend time and money shuffling those goods across the country to make sure that two-day prime delivery is possible everywhere.
Ah, I see. So the seller dumps it in one spot, Amazon does the heavy lifting.
Right. But with optimized splits, the seller surrenders routing control up front. Amazon's algorithm dictates this really complex shipping plan, forcing the seller to break their shipment into smaller batches and send them directly to a dozen different regional facilities.
Oh, wow. So you have to ship to 12 different places yourself.
Exactly. You lose direct visibility into where your goods are going and your freight costs increase, but Amazon rewards you with that later cutoff date because, well, you are doing their internal distribution work for them.
Okay, but wait, October 28th.
Yeah.
That is two full months before Christmas. I have to push back on the panic here a little bit.
Okay, go for it.
If I drop the ball and my goods arrive in November, isn't there still a secondary window? Like, the playbook mentions an expected December 1st cutoff for pure Christmas delivery.
Sure, yeah. That December 1st cutoff, it acts as a safety net for late arrivals. It ensures they get into the system in time for prime eligible Christmas delivery. What's fascinating here is that missing Black Friday and Cyber Monday means missing the peak momentum of the algorithm.
Ah, the algorithm. Always the algorithm.
Always. On Amazon, sales velocity breeds more sales velocity. If your competitors are selling thousands of units during Cyber Week, their organic search ranking just skyrockets.
So they get bumped to the top of page one.
Exactly. So if you are sitting on the sidelines waiting for your inventory to check in, by the time December 1st rolls around, you are buried on page four of the search results.
And nobody goes to page four.
Nobody.
It's like a high-stakes relay race. Dropping the baton in August means you don't even get to cross the starting line in November. You might get to run a lonely lap in December, but the main event just passed you by.
That's a perfect way to put it. And if you try to make up for lost time by flying the goods over, it's a total bloodbath.
Because of the cost.
Yeah, air freight from China costs roughly 4 to 6 times more per unit than ocean freight. You cut the transit from weeks to days, but you completely vaporize your profit margins. Yeah, the ultimate mistake highlighted in the playbook is ordering massive ocean freight quantities, realizing in late September that you're going to miss the cutoff, and then just putting all of it on an airplane.
Oh, no. You pay for ocean quantities on an air freight timeline.
Exactly. You pay for both.
Hmm.
What often gets misunderstood about fourth quarter failures is that underbuying inventory is rarely the primary culprit. Late FBA check-in is the leading cause of stockouts.
Wow.
Yeah, the logistics bottleneck, not a lack of manufacturing foresight, is what actually kills a brand's momentum.
Okay, that makes the physical threat incredibly clear. But even if you execute this perfect physical timeline you order in mid-August, you beat Golden Week, hit the October 28th optimized splits deadline, you hit a completely different wall.
The money wall.
The money. Because moving physical goods requires capital.
Here's where it gets really interesting. The playbook outlines a scenario where a seller's massive success in the fourth quarter can ironically lead them straight into bankruptcy.
Yeah, it's a terrifying paradox, and it's driven by a very hidden financial mechanism.
Right.
It all stems from Amazon's payout schedule, which is internally known as DD plus 7. Amazon doesn't pay a seller when a customer clicks buy. They pay the seller 7 days after the estimated delivery date of the last order in a settlement period.
Okay, wait. Let me walk through the math on that. So if a customer buys a blender on November 15th, but because it's the holiday rush, it doesn't actually get delivered until November 22nd.
Yep.
You add 7 days to that. Now we are at November 29th. Then Amazon initiates the transfer, which takes a few days to hit the bank. So the seller might not see the cash from a mid-November sale until December 3rd.
You've got it. Now layer on the holiday reserve system.
So there's more. Oh, yeah. During the fourth quarter, Amazon anticipates a massive spike in returns coming in January. To protect themselves, they implement a rolling reserve. So they hold back anywhere from 10 to 20% of a seller's total payout just in case they need to refund customers later.
That is brutal.
Mm-hmm.
So a seller could have a record-breaking November. They're selling out of everything. Revenue is up 90%. High fives all around in the office.
Breaking out the champagne.
Right. But because of DD plus 7, longer transit times, and reserve holds, a massive chunk of that November cash is locked in Amazon's ecosystem until mid to late December.
And that right there is the collision point. Your cash is frozen, but your expenses are just accelerating.
Because the business doesn't stop.
Exactly. Right when that money is delayed, Chinese factories are demanding heavy deposits, often $150,000 wires or more on December 10th to start production for your spring inventory.
Jeez.
Simultaneously, your Q4 advertising budgets on Amazon are burning through thousands of dollars a day just to keep your products visible during Cyber Week.
Okay, I have an analogy for this. It's like winning a pie-eating contest, right?
Yeah.
And your prize is that you instantly have to buy 100 more pies for the audience, but your wallet is locked in a safe for a month.
Yes, that is exactly what it feels like.
Meanwhile, the meat supplier, or I guess the pie supplier, is at the back door demanding cash for next week's pies, and you have to keep paying the host out front to bring people in.
Yeah.
If you wait until December to solve that cash crunch, what actually happens?
Well, your options in December are universally destructive. You either pause your advertising, which instantly kills your sales momentum.
Right.
Or you skip the factory wire, which means you stock out in February and ruin your entire first quarter. Or you take out predatory emergency loans at exorbitant interest rates just to make payroll.
None of those are good options.
No, they're terrible. The top-tier sellers avoid this entirely because they model the full cash conversion cycle months in advance.
Okay, so they are building this massive fortress of liquidity right now in August. What specific levers are they actually pulling to do that?
They utilize sophisticated inventory financing lines through services like Payability or Wayflyer.
Okay, how does that work mechanically?
Mechanically, these services connect to the seller's Amazon account. They analyze the daily sales data and effectively advance the seller tomorrow's cash today for a fee.
So it bridges that DD plus 7 gap.
Precisely. Top sellers also negotiate 60 or 90-day payment terms with their manufacturers in August, meaning the factory agrees to produce the goods now but accept the deposit months later.
So it pushes that collision point out of December entirely.
Exactly. You essentially decouple your expenses from your payout schedule.
Okay, so you conquer the calendar, you navigate the cash flow trap with smart financing, your inventory is sitting in an FBA warehouse, and you have cash to keep the ads running. You're ready to sell.
You'd think so, wouldn't you?
Right, but let's look at the new digital storefront. Because in May 2026, how shoppers actually find those products fundamentally shifted.
Yeah, this is perhaps the most significant evolution in e-commerce discovery we've seen since the invention of the search bar itself.
That is a massive claim.
It's true, though. Amazon combined its AI tools into a single, unified assistant called Alexa for Shopping. It is now the default AI layer across the app, the website, and Echo devices. And Prime membership isn't even required anymore.
So for Christmas, this changes the entire game. Because gift shoppers behave differently than someone buying, like, paper towels.
Very differently.
They don't just type in generic keywords. They ask conversational questions. Instead of typing coffee maker, they ask Alexa for shopping. Find me a gift for a coffee drinker under $40. Or what is a good starter camera for a 15-year-old?
Exactly.
But look, I have to be the skeptic here for a second. I've seen these quote-unquote game-changing algorithm updates before. Doesn't this just mean a seller goes into their listing today, deletes the keyword best coffee maker, and types in the phrase, gift for coffee drinker under 40? It feels like the same old keyword stuffing game with a shiny new AI wrapper.
I get why you'd think that, but the mechanism under the hood is entirely different now.
How so?
The old system, the A9 algorithm, functioned basically like a librarian looking for a book title. It scanned your product title and bullet points to see if the exact words the customer typed were present. If they matched, you ranked.
Right.
The new system relies on large language models, or LLMs, which don't just match text. They understand semantic intent.
Okay, what does that actually mean for the listing?
It means the AI understands the concept of a 15-year-old wanting a digital camera. It reads your entire product listing to see if the features genuinely serve that need, regardless of whether you use those exact words.
Oh, wow. So to communicate with the AI, the playbook says, sellers must rewrite their hero product's A-plus content. And let's define that real quick.
Yeah.
A-plus content is that rich, highly visual section you see when you scroll down past the initial pictures on an Amazon listing the area with the big lifestyle photos and comparison charts.
Yeah, that's the one.
So sellers have to rewrite that into a direct Q&A format.
They have to. AI overviews now generate at the very top of the search results, summarizing the category before a buyer even scrolls down to individual listings.
Before they even see the products.
Exactly. LLMs love structured data. By formatting your A-plus content as a series of questions and answers, you are spoon-feeding the AI the exact context it needs to recommend your product. You also have to integrate specific gift context language into your bullet points.
Like what?
Like phrases indicating that the item ships in gift-ready packaging or includes a blank greeting card?
Okay, but it gets even more ruthless because of this new side-by-side comparison feature. Alexa for Shopping allows buyers to compare 3 to 4 direct rivals in a single unified view right on the search page. The AI reads the listings of all 4 products and summarizes their pros and cons.
This is where clarity becomes everything. If your product listing relies on vague marketing fluff, say, saying something is made of high-quality materials, instead of specifying 304-grade stainless steel, the AI is going to punish you in that comparison view.
Because it can't prove it.
Exactly. It will state that your competitor has stainless steel and leave your material as unknown. You will lose the sale even if your actual physical product is vastly superior, simply because the AI couldn't parse your vague copy to prove it to the customer.
Wow. Clarity is literally the ultimate algorithm hack now.
It is.
And there's another element to this AI shift that completely blew my mind. Radical pricing transparency. Alexa for Shopping exposes a one-year price history graph on every single product page.
Which completely destroys one of the oldest retail tricks in the book.
The artificial Q3 markup. Historically, sellers would quietly raise their product's price from $50 to $100 in September. Then, when Black Friday rolled around, they would drop it back to $50 and slap a massive 50% off badge on the listing.
But now the AI will instantly flag it. A customer can just tap the AI summary and it will politely inform them, this item has been $50 for the last 10 months and was artificially raised in September.
That is hilarious and terrifying for sellers.
Very. Honest Q3 pricing is now mandatory if you want your Q4 discounts to actually convert. The AI effectively acts as a consumer protection agent.
Which forces sellers into a difficult position right now.
Yeah.
They have to hold their pricing steady through the slow months of late summer just to validate the discounts they plan to offer in November.
Exactly.
Okay, so you've adapted to the AI. You have the structured Q&A data, the gift-ready language, the honest pricing. The holiday rush begins. Millions of people are interacting with Alexa for shopping. Traffic is surging. But in any complex system, things inevitably break.
Always.
When the chaos hits, how do you handle it in real time?
Survival requires pre-committing to your emergency plans in August. When logistics fail in November, you do not want to be making complex strategic decisions under immense pressure. You need a playbook that you execute mechanically.
The source material gives a perfect example of this counterintuitive logic. Let's say your ocean freight is delayed by 2 weeks. You are going to miss the cutoff, so you have to use emergency air freight. The natural instinct is to put your top revenue product, the thing that brings in the most top line sales, on the airplane.
Of course, that's what everyone wants to do.
But the playbook says that is mathematically the wrong move.
It is. The better strategy is to allocate that expensive air freight budget to your highest margin SKU that has the deepest existing FBA position.
And a SKU, or stock keeping unit, is just your specific individual product variant, right?
Yeah.
Like the blue medium shirt versus the red large.
Exactly.
But why? Why give the expensive plane ticket to the highest margin item instead of the biggest seller?
Because if a product goes out of stock, its search ranking plummets. When you finally get inventory back, you have to spend heavily on ads to claw your way back up the search results.
Right.
A high-margin product generates enough profit per sale to fund its own aggressive ad campaigns to recover its ring quickly. It requires the fewest amount of emergency air freight units to get back to profitability. It's about maximizing the return on a very expensive logistical band-aid.
Okay, that brings us to advertising during a stockout, which introduces this fascinating concept called the 14-10-7 ad countdown. This dictates exactly how to couple your ad spend to your dwindling inventory levels. Mechanically, how does this countdown work?
It is a mechanism to prevent you from burning your own money. The rule is this. When a product hits 14 days of inventory left, you pull your sponsored product spend. Those are the native ads that look like regular search results.
Okay, 14 days, pull sponsored products.
Then, when inventory drops to 10 days, you cut your broad match campaigns. Broad match is when you bid on loose concepts, like gift for dad.
So what does this all mean? It's like hitting the brakes on a speeding train, right? You don't just slam them all at once when you see the wall. You have to downshift at specific mile markers.
That's a great analogy.
But why cut broad match at 10 days?
Because broad match campaigns bring in a lot of casual browsers. They might click your ad, which costs you money, but then they leave to think about it. When stock is precious, you just cannot afford to pay for low converting clicks.
Makes sense. And then comes the final brake pedal. When you are down to just 7 days of inventory, you strip everything down and only run branded defensive campaigns. Meaning, if I sell Acme blenders, I only pay for ads when someone specifically searches the exact phrase Acme blender.
Right.
But I have to ask, why pull back so drastically? If you have 7 days of inventory left during the busiest shopping week of the year, shouldn't you squeeze every last drop out of the algorithm? Try to acquire as many new customers as possible.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, paying for advertisements to accelerate a stockout is irrational.
How so?
If organic demand dictates that you will sell out your remaining inventory in 5 days for free, why would you pay Amazon a premium cost per click to sell out in 3 days? You are paying to generate demand that you physically cannot fulfill.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you're literally just burning cash.
Exactly. But you run the branded defensive campaigns because you have to protect your moat. If someone searches for your specific brand name and you aren't running an ad there, a competitor will buy that ad space and steal your most loyal customers right at the finish line.
That makes perfect sense. It's about preserving the life of the listing and protecting the brand, not just grabbing immediate expensive cash. Speaking of preserving inventory, there's a massive trap for brands that run both an Amazon store and their own independent Shopify store.
Oh, this is a huge pitfall.
Sellers often allocate 90% of their physical goods to Amazon FBA, and then they are completely shocked when their Shopify store stocks out during peak season.
Yeah, because Amazon and Shopify possess completely different demand curves. Shopify sales are heavily driven by paid social media spend.
Like TikTok ads.
Exactly. You can instantly spike demand on a Shopify site by turning on a viral TikTok or Facebook ad campaign, but that demand spike doesn't cleanly translate to Amazon's search algorithm.
So the solution is you need a dedicated, physically separate inventory pool for Shopify.
You have to.
The playbook suggests either using a 3PL, a third-party logistics warehouse that is completely independent of Amazon, or using Amazon's MCF program. And MCF stands for Multi-Channel Fulfillment. That's a system where you pay Amazon to take your inventory, put it in a plain brown box instead of an Amazon Prime box, and ship it to your Shopify customer.
But you still have to split that inventory conceptually in the system. You can't just assume the Amazon warehouse will perfectly feed both monsters.
Right. You have to manage those distinct channels dynamically all the way through what the industry calls the Q5 window. Q5.
The aftermath. Because December 26th is not the end of the line, is it?
Definitely not. December 26th through mid-January is a massive secondary season with its own distinct psychology. The messaging shifts entirely from buying a gift for someone else to treating yourself.
It's the gift card redemption phase. It's the New Year's resolution shoppers.
The playbook notes that categories like fitness equipment, organizational products, kitchen tools, and home improvement, they just spike during this window. If a seller panicked and liquidated all their inventory on December 24th, they completely miss this surge.
They leave so much money on the table. But there is a ticking clock on that leftover inventory. Amazon assesses an aged inventory surcharge on the 15th of every month.
Right.
If your inventory has been sitting in their warehouse for 181 days or longer, you get hit with a punitive fee. And that fee jumps significantly at 271 days, and it climbs again at 365 days.
So those Christmas items that just sit there gathering dust through Q1 can compound into a massive financial liability quickly.
Very quickly.
You have to run aggressive clearance discounts of 20 to 30% in late January just to flush that excess stock out before the surcharges destroy your margin. And then finally, you have to file your FBA reimbursement claims for any Q4 goods that were lost or damaged in the warehouse chaos while the paperwork is still fresh.
It is an exhaustive, relentless cycle of analysis and execution.
It really is. Let's recap the incredible gauntlet we just ran today. We started with the unforgiving August deadlines. If you aren't manufacturing by mid-August, Golden Week and ocean freight delays mean you're already behind.
Yep.
We navigated the terrifying DD plus 7 cash flow trap, utilizing financing to survive the paradox of soaring Q4 revenue graining your Q1 bank account. We adapted to the new digital reality of Alexa for shopping, restructuring A-plus content into Q&A formats so the LLMs can understand semantic intent and, you know, maintaining honest pricing.
Crucial.
And finally, we look at the real-time mechanical precision required to throttle ad spend through the 14-10-7 countdown. For you listening, the next time you are sitting on your couch in December and you seamlessly order a holiday gift with a conversational AI prompt and it magically appears on your doorstep 2 days later.
Like magic.
Exactly. I hope you take a second to appreciate the intense logistical, financial, and digital war that was waged back in the sweltering heat of August just to make that convenience possible.
It really is a marvel of modern commerce and is built on the backs of incredibly stressed planners modeling supply chains 6 months in advance.
Which leaves me with a final thought for you to mull over. We talked about Amazon enforcing this total price history transparency and conversational AI directly answering shopper questions using semantic intent rather than just matching keywords. What if the true long-term goal of Alexa for shopping isn't actually just to help buyers find gifts?
Oh, that's an interesting angle.
Right. What if the system's designed by Amazon to deliberately force sellers to become radically transparent, high-quality brands? If an AI can instantly cross-reference materials, expose fake discounts, and punish vague marketing copy, what if this is the mechanism that completely wipes out the era of cheap, manipulated, keyword-stuffed knockoffs?
The AI might just become the ultimate, inescapable quality control enforcement mechanism for the entire global supply chain.
How is that going to reshape the future of global retail? It really makes you wonder. Because right now, in July, while the rest of us are enjoying the summer, for the people building our perfect Christmas morning, the house is already on fire.
We'll see who has the water to put it out.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.